drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom of two who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
Welcome to episode 3 of season 3. We're chatting with Rachel Dawson, a believer, editor, writer, and juggler of many creative and community building endeavors. Rachel spends her days crafting words, creating art, and bringing people together both online and in real life in Richmond, Virginia. You'll often find her wearing black in cozy coffee shops with her nose in a book and a vegan latte in hand, but she'll drop everything to swap stories with you, which makes her our kind of person. You can find her online at rachelaDawson.com or at Rachel A. Dawson on Twitter and Instagram. So thank you so much for joining us today, Rachel.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is so fun.
Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got to where you are now?
Yeah, so I actually went to school for media arts and design with journalism and kind of always knew that this was the track I wanted to go on. And I wanted to always combine writing with design, with social media and all of that. Wanted to do for some kind of organization or company that I could really get behind the cause that really mattered a lot to me. So I did that, graduated in 3 years, and kind of just jumped right into a communications coordinator role at a nonprofit. Did that for a while, learned a ton of things that have served me so well since, and then kind of transitioned from that back to more of a freelance lifestyle and worked for a creative group that was remote. So we all were in different states, which was fun, and had tons of different clients and did that for a while, ran their blog, started writing more on my own blog. And then about a year, almost a year and a half ago, got the job I have now, which I love. And it's also a little bit in transition, but I will soon be the design editor for a major Christian web company here in Richmond, which has really been fun because it's been kind of the perfect culmination of all the pieces I loved about my other endeavors in the past, kind of with a whole new spin on them that's been really exciting. So I run a lot of blogs, do a lot of social media, do a lot of design, write a ton, and kind of just fill my days with all of these different creative things, which is a blast and can be a lot sometimes too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's something a lot of our listeners find themselves doing too, where they've got all these different projects and their hands are in all these different things. And they're like, oh, how am I supposed to balance all this stuff now? So I am really excited to talk with you today about all that stuff you're doing. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
So you announced on your blog that your word for 2017 this year is clarity. So can you tell us a little bit about what prompted you to pick that word and how you're hoping it will direct your creativity in the year to come?
Yeah, so I have always chosen a word of the year and really just love the way it kind of gives me a focus as the year goes on. And last year was rhythm, and I feel like I learned a lot about just really how to build better kind of habits and routines. And coming into this year, feeling like there was a lot on my plate and just kind of personally and professionally and creatively, all these different pieces. And clarity felt like the word that really would help me kind of zero in on the things that mattered most and to kind of learn to say yes to those things more and to say no to some of the other like kind of time suck things that weren't actually as gratifying or as fulfilling at the end of the day. And it's been a good word so far. I think once you pick a word like that, you start to see it everywhere and you hear it in songs and it just becomes like all over the place. So I've been really kind of trying to just dig into that and look at what that means in a lot of different ways. And it's already been proving to be kind of a healthy focus for me. So we'll see what it means as the year goes on. And if I truly do say no to things like I should, or if I keep piling the plate up too high. So we'll see. I will report back at the end of 2017. But so far, so good.
Well, good. Glad to know that just a month in that you're doing really well with it and enjoying it. And like you said, it kind of just starts popping up everywhere that you mm-hmm. see now that you've kind of chosen this guiding word for your year. So speaking of clarity, you do creative work for a living most days, and then you also write and edit for different sites, and then you also have your own blog. How do you kind of keep all that clear in your brain, even just like logistically? Like, do you have lists? Do you have apps that you use? Like, what are kind of your tactics that you do to just stay sane?
I am 100% a paper person, and I don't use apps for any of that. Don't even have my calendar on my phone. I write it all down, and I don't even color code because I am not a big fan of color, which it's just all black pen and lots of lists. And I have an agenda kind of bullet journal combination thing I've fused together over the last few months and find that that works best for me to kind of have the monthly spread and then daily to-do lists and different kind of bullet journal style lists of things that I need to do for the Rising blog that I run and my own blog and work tasks and then different other things I'm involved with through my church here that I also run social media and do design for. So to-do lists all over the place, basically. On any scrap of paper I can find, I'm trying to keep them all in one place now is like the big test. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of once I write it down, I find I remember it better. So everything just has to get written down and I can keep it kind of straight that way.
Yeah, that is something that I learned this last year too. I finally, for the first time in my life, bought a paper planner and I learned that as soon as I wrote something down, I just remembered it. I didn't even have to really consult the planner later on. It just kind of cemented a little bit better than putting it in my phone. So that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. Glad to hear that I'm not the only one who works that way.
Exactly how my brain works.
Do you find that all of these creative projects that you do during the daytime leave you kind of drained and unable to do anything for yourself in the evenings? Or does it help kind of fuel your creativity that you find later in the day?
I think sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other. There are days at work that I come home and I just cannot look at my computer for 5 more seconds or create anything that is worthy of existing. And I am not above a nice Netflix binge or just going for a walk or whatever it takes to really clear my head. But I do think because the things I do are so different that I always can find some way to get excited about a different task. So sometimes if I've done a lot of social media scheduling at work that day, I'll come home and I'll just free write or I'll try to just sit down and write a poem or something. So I think mixing it up and trying to keep myself interested in all the different projects and just find the different ways that each of them are exciting and kind of add just a new dimension to, I guess, my creative life as a whole has been helpful. And I think just being able to disconnect has been helpful too, and finding that balance of the work and the making and the creating and the putting things together, and also just taking time to just consume or kind of just, I read a lot. So that's a big thing that helps me kind of just take a break from constantly, like the constant output. So yeah, it's a mix. It's a lot of last year was spent working on those rhythms and trying to find better ways to kind of manage all of that. So I've made progress, still much more to be made, but I think that's kind of the struggle of the creative life a little bit.
Yeah, I love that though, that you find that balance between, like you said, if you're doing a lot of social media stuff at work, then you have to come home and do more like deep writing work. And I find that the way you were describing it, it almost sounds like there's a balance between computer and online work and work that you can do sort of more like internal work or work that you can even do on paper. Because I sort of just hit this wall sometimes with the internet where it's like, I can't do, even if it's like creative writing, if I have to be online for it or if I have to be at my computer to do it, I'm like, I just can't look at a screen anymore. Yeah. Like, I can't do this. So I really like that perspective of like, there are different forms of creativity where you don't have to be online and you can sort of find the balance in those ways too, because that other type of creativity can sometimes recharge you if you're feeling burnt out from the online world.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I think a lot of it too is finding ways to be creative or make something that are just totally not related to the work I have to do at the end of the day. And sometimes it's as simple as just, I'm a big fan of just getting outside, having fresh air, or getting my hands dirty in the garden, mm-hmm. or just something that feels tangible and different, because I think online can feel so kind of cold and detached sometimes. And finding the ways to just kind of re-engage with what is real and tangible, and just, even if it's, you know, cooking a meal for dinner, or just something where I'm making something still, and I still can kind of tune into the different ways that that's like inspiring me or making me think about things, but it's not just looking at my computer. I need that balance a lot. So I cannot be online all day long. I will not last if I do that. So,
yeah, and this is where those of us who are in the upper Midwest, i.e. Ashley and I, are really, really jealous that you have actual weather that you can go outside in most of the year, or at least during the winter months, because I think that's a struggle that a lot of us kind of stuck in the northern half of the country face, is we're on the computer all day long, and by the time we get home, it's dark out and it's cold out, and we can't go on a walk because it's icy and gross. And what do you do then to kind of unplug is a bit of a struggle, I think, sometimes for myself. I don't know about you, Ashley.
Yeah, I turn to knitting a little bit more in winter. Like in summer, I hate knitting because your fingers are all sweaty as you're like working with this yarn, which is disgusting. But like yarn makes my hands sweat in summer. So I do all my knitting in winter. And that's like that's a good way to unwind at the end of the day, too.
You probably don't want me to tell you that it was 75 degrees today in February here in Richmond.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
It was like ice raining here today. It like ice rained and then it snowed.
Nice. Yeah, it was just one of those days that like it's cold and dreary and just like saps all the life out of you, like literally when you walk out the door. So it's really hard like mentally to get into like a sunshiny space too. So yesterday was sunny, at least it hasn't been too bad.
But then the downside to it being sunny in winter is that sunny winter days are usually really cold.
Yes. Like 8 degrees cold. So
yeah.
Oh, goodness. I love winter, but this winter has just been sad, like not snowy. It's been icy, and that's not my favorite. So Midwest winter aside, yeah. You just recently became a contributor to Kayla Hollitz's new and improved createlounge.com. We're big fans of Kayla. We've been following her for a couple years and love what she's doing over there. So is this tricky to navigate, especially since you wrote a few months ago about kind of wrestling with whether or not you wanted to pull back and not write as much on your own blog?
It is a very different, it's a different beast to write for somebody else's site. And it has honestly been so much fun. And I too am a huge fan of Kayla and have known her since way back in the Firework People days when there was a cool online community that had these weekly Twitter chats. And she's an incredible creative that I've learned a lot from. And it's been really fun for me to kind of switch gears with that and not be the one in control and not be the editor and not be the one making all the decisions. So it's a fun change of pace to just think of blog ideas and send them to her. And she gets to kind of ultimately decide what I write on or not, instead of me having to constantly idea generate. And it's been honestly a great way to get back into writing more, because I think having a different space to write in has kind of challenged me just in different ways. I think it's hard with my own site sometimes to stay motivated when I kind of feel like it's just me, and does anybody really care what I have to say, and is anybody, you know, what are they wanting to read when they come to my site? Is it the book reviews, or is it the stuff about my personal life, or is it faith related things? And it can kind of feel like bogged down sometimes with that. And there are times when you just go through harder seasons of life, and this past fall was just a challenging season for me kind of personally, and I just felt like I was in a weird fog. And in the middle of that, I didn't want to write at all, because it just felt like I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to kind of make sense of these things, and people probably don't want to hear this. Like, there's enough bad stuff in the world. Like, they don't need to hear my sad story, or, you know, whatever. But getting to write for Kayla kind of just pushed me out of that and gave me a new thing to focus on and kind of a new spin on the types of things I was writing. So it's very in line with a lot of the content I was already writing for my site, but it's just a kind of a fun challenge to know that I'm joining with all these other creatives and creating this thing together that is more than any of us could do on our own. And that's just inspiring in a different way. And I think it's been really exciting to kind of see it come to life and to see so many people really engage with the content there. And that's in turn motivated me to write more on my own site again and kind of brought that spark back to what had kind of felt like it was getting dull. So I'm really glad to be a part of it. It's been really fun to just see what she's doing and to see all the other contributors that have joined in too. So it's been really fun. I was definitely honored that she asked me to be part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been following along with that new blog of hers, and I've been looking forward every couple of days to checking back in and seeing what else is there, because I'm really loving what she's got going on it. It's createlounge.com if anybody wants to check it out. But I think what you said is true. Like, there's a lot of freedom in writing for somebody else when you're taking some of those editorial decisions off your plate and you're free to just explore your writing and see where it goes. And for me, I know when I do that, sometimes I end up writing something that isn't a good fit, but I'm still glad to have written it. And if it were me having to think about it from more of that marketing perspective of like, is this going to be something worth writing and putting on my website? Is this something people are going to want to read? I may have decided, no, it's not. And then I wouldn't have written it at all. And that's kind of sad when that doesn't happen. Like, sometimes I think the words are worth getting out on paper, even if they don't get published right now, or if they don't get published where you want them to. You never know what might happen with them in the future, even if they don't go anywhere at all.
I agree. Yeah.
So in addition to blogging, you do several other types of art, including participating in a couple different 100-day projects, which one was hand lettering and one was watercolor, which I am so impressed by because I am not a visual artist at all. So I'm like in awe that you've done these. So tell us a little bit about those 200-day projects. Like, what is a 100-day project and how did both of those go for you?
They are something else, let me tell you. The artist, El Luna, started this 100-day project. At first, it was in combination with The Great Discontent magazine. And El Luna has written a great book, The Crossroads of Should and Must, which I highly recommend. But she kind of started this project with the idea of anything goes and just pick something to do for 100 days. Something creative, something I don't know, people took it in all different directions, honestly. I mean, people were doing things like I did with hand lettering or watercolor. I had a friend in Richmond, actually, who did 100 days of cultivating community, and she tried to just meet someone new every day. So whatever it was, she just challenged people to really commit to something for 100 days. And I called it 100 Days of Rad Pages, and I just had a mini sketchbook, and every day I had to just write something on a page. I kept it purposely open-ended because I am such a rebel when it comes to expectations. And when people, even myself, put some kind of a, you know, do this every day for 100 days, I'm like, oh, whoa, please hold. I don't want to do that. That's intimidating. Like, that's too much. So for me, it was really a process of learning to be diligent and really just committing to some days it's going to be awful, and some days I have literally cannot think of one single word to write on this piece of paper, and some days I'm going to feel like I have 12 ideas, and just committing to doing it every single day. And it was such a small thing. I mean, it was the tiniest sketchbook, like the size of my iPhone, basically, and I just needed to do it. And I learned a lot about just what it takes to really commit to something and to keep showing up on the hard days and keep showing up on the days where you're super inspired and keep showing up even if you like accidentally skip a day, not just letting that be reason to give up. So when it came to watercolors this past year, guys, I hate watercolors. Like, I hate them. I have never used them before, and I just thought this is the time to try something brand new, totally push myself out of my comfort zone. I'm always inspired by the artists I see doing watercolors on Instagram, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it for 100 days. And every day I dreaded it. Like, it was just not natural for me. It wasn't really fun. I felt like I didn't know the technique, and I wasn't really that interested in trying to learn it either. I wanted to be perfect from the start, right? So I think I learned, honestly, more that year of that 100-day project because it was so not natural to me, and it wasn't really in my element. And it's been actually really fun, though, to see. It was fun to see those paintings add up and to kind of see the stack of those cards grow and to realize, like, I'm doing this. Even though I don't love it, I think it's pushing myself and I'm learning this new thing. And maybe it'll come in handy someday. And it has. I've gotten actually to design watercolored wedding invitations for my cousin and people that have saw what I was doing that really want me to do more of it and kind of saw more talent in me than I think I saw in myself because I was super critical of what I was creating. But just the diligence of doing it for 100 days, it will push you past your limit and really show you, like, I can do this thing that seems hard and daunting, and I'll have a really cool body of work to show for it at the end, even if no one ever sees it. But just the accountability of posting on Instagram every day what I had done really helped me stay invested in it. And there were people that knew, like, if I missed a day or if I was out late that night and, you know, didn't get one posted at that certain day and I had did two the next day, people would call me out on it, which was, it was fun to have that kind of accountability and people like throwing out suggestions of, hey, you should do a watercolor of a shark because you love Shark Week, or you should do like this because of whatever. So it was fun to kind of have some people rally around that. And yeah, I have no idea what I'll do for the 100-day project this year. I'm still trying to think of an idea that will be, again, out of my comfort zone, because I think that's a fun push for myself, but also don't want to dread it every day. So we'll see what I come up with.
Yeah, so when does that start? Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't. I believe it starts in the spring and goes through the summer, but don't quote me on that. And it's kind of changed a little bit year to year in terms of who's kind of hosting and how it's kind of organized, but Elle Luna has always been the one spearheading that campaign. So if you want to follow along with her online and kind of, I'm sure she'll announce it when it gets close.
Yeah, and we'll try to find a link and put it in the show notes for everyone as well in case you want to participate. It's not something that I've done in the past, but it sounds like a lot of fun and a great way to just kind of consistently do something every day to kind of move you toward a goal, which sounds awesome.
Right. Even if the goal is just doing it every day, like, you don't have to have this, I'm going to paint a masterpiece at the end. Just, I'm going to try this new medium that I've never used before. And I don't know, I could have discovered I was awesome at it. I don't know. Like, I had never tried it. Who knew if I was the next great watercolorist? But I learned that I'm not, and that's okay, but I can do some. And it's just a fun little thing to have in my back pocket now. So it was worth it.
Yeah, I haven't done one either. I think last year was the first year I'd heard about it because I had just read Elle Luna's book, The Crossroads Between Should and Must, or The Crossroads of Should and Must. And I really wanted to do it last year, but I couldn't decide what to do. And it ran into when I was due with my baby. And I felt like starting would just be failure because I would be like, well, I'm in the hospital. I missed 2 days and now I have a newborn and I'm not going to do it. So I like purposely didn't start, which looking back is kind of against the spirit of the whole thing. Like, I could have done until I had my baby and then just been like, I still did like 70 days or something. So I think I'm going to give it a shot this year, but you've given me some ideas to think about when it's thinking about like what you should choose for your project. You got the wheels turning for me.
Can't wait to see what you do. I'll be cheering you on.
I probably will not Instagram it because it will, well, let's face it, I'm not good at Instagram anyway. Like, I can't go on Instagram every day, but
maybe
I'll come up with something.
Maybe that's your 100 days of Instagram.
100 days of Instagram.
Boom. Two birds,
oh my
one
gosh.
Stone.
That's the best thing ever.
It is. So speaking of social media, as creative people, we totally feel the pressure of showing our work and showing up on social media and building community and doing all of these things in the name of our brand or our personhood or whatever it may be. But it's also really draining sometimes. Social media can like sap the energy right out of you. So Rachel, you've talked about this before, but how do you balance a desire to be social and kind of connect with people online, but also avoiding the distraction and being able to like keep work done and stop comparing yourself to everyone else out there on the internet?
This is something that focusing on rhythms last year and then clarity this year have really kind of helped me get behind. And I've focused a lot on this because this has just been a hard, I think, time of year for a lot of people with politics and so many things in the world just feeling so overwhelming. And then you add this creative pressure on top of that and you feel like everybody's writing about things and responding to things and you feel this pressure to keep up. And I'm an introvert and I am a feeler and all of these things that just make it so hard for me to constantly have that weighing on me and just feeding my kind of frenzy all the time. So things that have helped for me have been really practical little things. And the first one that I cannot recommend enough is turning off all the notifications on my phone. So I'm not getting pinged and I'm not seeing Instagram likes come through or Twitter followers or mentions or anything come through. So that's been huge. I also turn Do Not Disturb on my phone from like 8 p.m. until 8 a.m. So from those hours, I am just off the grid. And because I've realized, right, nothing that important happens in the evening. And I can't handle, even if something was happening or even if, God forbid, something bad happened in the world in that time, I don't necessarily need to know about it right away. And I don't need to see kind of in my downtime all the things that other people are putting out there and creating and making and doing, because that just adds stress to me in terms of my work and what, you know, like, oh, it's my evening and I'm just sitting here reading a book. But if I get on Instagram and that artist posted this new thing and that person posted their new book they just launched or whatever, I start to feel like, oh, I need to be doing more and I can't relax because I'll miss something or I'll, you know, I don't know how to hustle like that. So for me, it's stepping away from all of that and really creating boundaries and kind of space and rest from just all of it. So, I think another thing, I've made sure to really unfollow a lot of accounts, which was hard for me at first, wanting to be somebody that is supportive of the community and want to, you know, connect with people that I don't know or that I do know. And I've just learned that I can't follow everybody and I can't really follow accounts that are always trying to sell me something or accounts that when I know I'm looking at their page and I'm feeling these icky things rise up in me of comparison or judgment or just whatever it is, I'm like, okay, this isn't healthy for me. I can be friends with this person and not follow their every move. And so being able to kind of learn those limits for myself and find the ways that I can just kind of step back and create just room for my soul to breathe. I feel like I'm a better person in all areas of my life, and I'm a better creative person, a better writer, a better team player, and just lover of people when I am not on all the time and not online all the time. So it's a lot of little things that I've realized just really add up to making me feel more sane and ready to engage with the internet and everything that's on it when it's time, which just for me isn't the evenings and it's not the early mornings, because I'm on all day at work anyway. I don't need that in my off time. So just really sticking to that has been crucial.
Yeah, those are some really wise guidelines. And I don't know, I think I really am, like, the one I'm resonating with is that you said, like, you have to unfollow people who are always trying to sell you things. And that's something where, like, I'm in online business, so a lot of my networking and a lot of my connections are, like, people who by definition are selling me things because it's their business accounts, which are also tied into their personal brands. And that's so hard because I can't fault them for selling me things. Like, I do the same thing. I sell myself with social media because that's just part of my business. That's what I have to do is marketing. But it's really tricky when it's somebody that you care about on a personal level, but also you're always seeing, like, you should be doing this or you could be doing that, or there's this online course or there's this ebook. And I just really like what you said about how you can be friends with this person without following them on every platform, and just mindfully stepping away from those things if you need to. Like, that is just really, really wise. I'm like taking a lot away from that right now.
Yeah, it's been a game changer for me. I think just even just shrinking the number of people that I follow, even if it's, you know, I don't need to follow every brand, and I can go look at those brands if I need to see what they're doing or if I am curious about what's going on or I want inspiration. But just shrinking the number of people that are putting things in front of me has made a big difference. And there are, I don't think, never once has someone realized I wasn't following them on Instagram and gotten offended. Like, it's never turned into something where, like, a friendship has ended because I unfollowed them. And I think people in this day and age kind of know. And like you're saying, they get that feeling of, like, it's a lot and I know that you have to do that and I am doing it too, but I can't follow everyone that's doing that. I'm cool, you're cool, okay, we're cool. Like, it's really not as serious as we make it seem sometimes. I think we put all this pressure on ourselves to just be a brand and see the brands and connect with the brands and build all these things all the time. And sometimes it just feels like I just got to be real with people and I just need to turn it all off and no one's going to matter. Like, it's not going to matter. No one's going to care. And I can just be a real human that, like, needs to just take a nap or whatever it is. I don't need to be the one that likes every Instagram that every friend of mine puts up. So just taking that pressure off of myself to be everything to everybody and to be engaged with all of the things out there. I just can't do it all. So I want to do the things that I can do well and kind of just zero in on these are my people. How can I support them well and not have to do all of it?
That is a great philosophy for social media and for life in general, I think. I know one thing that I do, I tend not to follow someone on every single platform because I know that's like the struggle is, you know, people will be like, hey, come follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Vine and whatever other social media of the moment is happening. And I tend to have like kind of the personal policy, like if you're posting the same thing on every channel or if you're auto posting your Twitter feed to your Facebook feed, like I don't need to follow both of them. And even just cutting down on the sheer volume has really helped me. But then also just picking whichever platform I like of theirs the best, which sounds selfish or self-serving, but like maybe I really like their Twitter feed, but their Instagram is too much for me. Then I can follow them on Twitter and not feel guilty about not following them on Instagram. And that really helps kind of clear the clutter as well.
Yeah, I love that. I do that too.
Cool. Glad I'm not the only like weird person who analyzes other people's social feeds and decides which to follow.
Nope. We all do it.
I need to cut down on people now. You guys are like inspiring me. I'm like, all right, who is on the chopping block tonight? Like, not in a mean way, but like, yeah, I'm just so excited to not follow so many people now. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I should do that. That's good. And I'm actually starting a personal blog for the same reason so that I can have a space where I'm like not selling something to people, like not even affiliate links. And Abby and I have talked about this before. That'll be on previous episodes by the time this one comes out. But I'm just so excited to have a space online again where I'm not selling things. And now I'm excited to look for that in other people's social media feeds. I'm almost forgotten that there are people who don't sell things on the internet that I can follow.
Yes.
That's great.
They're out there, I promise.
I know.
You have our full permission to go unfollow people after we get off the phone.
Yes. So an even greater love than social media for all of us is, of course, books. And you read, I think, more than almost anybody else I know on the internet. Like, you read a ton. I'm so impressed. So how do you make time to read so much? And why is reading such a big priority for you?
I am admittedly such a bookworm and such a nerd about books. And I think people ask me this question probably more than any other. I mean, you tell people last year I read 150 some books. I mean, people want to know, like, how do you do it? And how do you possibly like fit that in? I think for me, I mean, I've written blog posts about this on my own site too, because I think it's so much easier than people realize. And I am very aware that not everyone's lifestyle is like conducive to tons of reading. And I'm in a season of life where, you know, not being married and not having kids, and that helps a lot with, I come home at the end of the day and my time is just mine, which is nice because I get to kind of decide how I spend it. But it's just the little pockets of time that add up. I've started waking up a little bit earlier, which is not my nature. I'm such a night owl, but I've learned that waking up a little bit earlier and having kind of a slower morning before work when I read a little bit is really helpful to starting my day off on a more grounded tone. So I read a little bit then, and I read on my lunch break at work, and I keep a book in my car, and I keep a different book in my purse, and I keep a different book in my work bag, and books by my bedside. I keep them all over, and I try to read a variety of different kinds of books. So I'm not just reading thriller after thriller after thriller, or I'm not just reading all books about business all the time. I try to kind of balance that, and even reading several books at the same time where I can kind of take a break from a nonfiction book and go to something that's lighter, or then read something about faith that's more kind of encouraging and inspiring in a different way. And then, you know, read some poetry in the evenings because it's just beautiful and it's nice to just read beautiful words. So I think I prioritize it because I've found that I'm a better person when I just am pushing myself to grow and exposing myself to different perspectives and different stories, and just kind of putting myself in the shoes of other people. And just kind of getting, there's a quote by Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird that talks about like not knowing a person until you really climb into their skin and walk around in it. And I think for me, that's kind of the beautiful thing about books, is that I can put myself in the skin of an author and kind of walk around in their world and learn more about what my own experience is like by reading theirs. And I think it just pushes me to be a better human and to be more aware and to be more empathetic and just open-minded, and also just a better writer, because I'm reading beautiful things that are, you know, showing me how awesome it is to string words together in different ways, or I'm reading things that are challenging my worldview or whatever it is. But all of those things are kind of pushing me to a better and a deeper place. And also it's just fun to read, and I really enjoy it a lot. I know not everybody does, and that's kind of baffling to me, but I also try to respect that. But to me, it's just a great way to relax. It's a great way to keep myself growing, and it's fun. It's fun to find people that like books too. I always feel like kindred spirits with other people that are book people too, and I love swapping stories with people, and it's just kind of become this thing. I guess I'm known for reading a lot, which has always been the case. And so it's surprising to me now that people care about it and ask me about it as much as they do. But I'm always happy to share book recommendations. And we've started a fun little book club with some other friends of mine called Collaborreads. And it's a monthly kind of book thing we do. And it's been another fun spin on finding bookish people that want to read but don't want to read like the same book. I think that bothered me about book clubs for a while, that like we all have to read the same thing and talk about it. Like, are you kidding me? Every time, really? So what we've done with Collaborates is a little different, and it's just a theme, and everyone gets to pick a different book. So you're all kind of coming with this something was similar, and there's a thread among all the books we read, but they're all different, and I get to add to my read list, even though I have shelves full of books still to read. But it's been really fun to just kind of carve out that space on the internet to talk about books. And again, it goes back to that. That's a place where I feel like I can disconnect from the world and just kind of recharge. So the fact that other people like it and we get to talk about it and swap books and swap stories is just icing on the cake. So,
yeah, I've gotten some great book recommendations from your Collaborate series with like just the things that all those different bloggers have come up with to read that I wouldn't have found otherwise. It made my to be read list grow exponentially. So
I would say sorry, but I'm actually not sorry.
It's a blessing and a curse.
A long really. To be read. Yes. A long to be read list is a great problem to have in my mind.
This is true. So you said you are always up for book recommendations, which brings us to Mini Book Club, which I think we're particularly excited about with you because we knew it would be a good one for talking about books. So we would love to hear any books you want to talk about, whether it's your all-time favorites, your favorite books about writing and creativity, what you're reading now. Just like, go for it. Talk about books.
Awesome. This is my favorite. I am admittedly not a big fan of books about writing or creativity for the most part. And I don't know if that's because I just think like I know how to write and I don't need to read somebody telling me how to write. I don't know if that's just like a personal problem or I don't know. But I've read a lot of them and I find that most of the time I get some good nuggets from them, but I'm kind of feel like they fall flat. But of course, when it comes to creativity and just kind of like the deeper thoughts behind that, Brené Brown is the best. And I know you guys have talked about her before, and she is just will forever hold a special place in my heart for just the things she's taught me about vulnerability and what that looks like in all areas of my life. But Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert and the podcast that she did surrounding that was really cool too. I'm somebody that's like a very deeply spiritual person, which that book and the way she talked about creativity really kind of just struck a chord with me and made me really feel more excited about it and feel like the whole act of creating is a lot more alive than I think I used to give it credit for. So I love those. I read all kinds of things all the time too, and I find like my nature is never really to reread books, so it's hard for me to name all-time favorites because there's so many books to be read, and it's just I love so many books. I'm like, I would read them again, but then there's so many more that I haven't read, and I want to read those too. So if I've reread a book, it's rare, but Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, classic favorite. I think for a lot of Christians, that's one of those kind of go-to books. So I love that one. Little Women was my favorite book growing up. And I feel like just Jo is my soul sister. Like, I get her. We're the same. That's great.
And that book ages so well. If you pick it up today and you read it, like, it's still as wonderful as when you were, you know, 11 or 12.
Yes, I agree. I read it last year again and was just like, this doesn't get old. And I got more books by Louisa May Alcott, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to kind of read more of her stories and see how that builds, because I've never read anything but that from her. I'm also a big Wendell Berry fan, a big Flannery O'Connor fan. I'm on a big Enneagram kick right now, so I've been reading a lot of books about the Enneagram and just personality types. I always love talking about Myers-Briggs, and I discovered the Enneagram, and I felt like this whole new world of mm-hmm. personality things opened up, so now I can't get enough of that. And I'm also a really big fan of poetry, and I love Mary Oliver, I love Ted Loder, I love Wendell Berry again with his poetry, some T.S. Eliot, Emily Dickinson. And I find with poetry that the magic comes out when you read it out loud, which feels so awkward. And I totally get that, because you're like sitting in your room by yourself and you're like reading this poetry. But I found like there was just, I don't know, one time when I thought, I'm just going to like start reading this out loud, because it just feels like I want to hear how it sounds or whatever. And I got chills and like tears came to my eyes. And it was this like moment of like, oh my gosh, this is such like a beautiful sacred thing that this person has put their words together in this way and shared them, and I'm getting to read them and kind of hear my own voice saying them to myself. And it was a really cool thing. And so it's weird to like tell people like, hey, you should, you know, read some poems to yourself, but you should. So maybe just like try it once and see, on a quiet evening or whatever, just like read a poem to yourself and see what happens. But it's so beautiful. And I think people can feel like poetry is always cheesy or cliche or romantic or whatever, but it's just really rich language, and it kind of just helps me at least to just kind of quiet my soul and realize like, I feel like we get so caught up in tweeting all the time and putting all these words out there that are so like fast and furious, and it's just like poetry just slows it all down, and it really reminds you like the beauty of words, which encourages me to write more beautiful things too. So yeah, I'm actually, so it's February right now, and I am reading only books by authors of color this month, because I realized in looking at all the books I've read over the last few years, I haven't had a lot of diversity in terms of the types of authors I was reading. And I felt like with everything going on in the world right now and just wanting to be an informed citizen and just a good neighbor and a good, a loving human, that I really wanted to, like I was saying earlier, to really put myself in the skin of other people and immerse myself in other experiences and just ways of living. So I actually have a whole shelf right near me right now of like 12 books by different authors of color. Some of them are famous classics like Their Eyes Were Watching God, or a book that President Obama wrote, or different books by Representative John Lewis. And he kind of wrote some graphic novels about, they're all called March, about civil rights movements. And I'm just really appreciating the challenge of that it's really taking me completely out of my comfort zone as, you know, an upper middle class white girl, and really kind of forcing me to take a good hard look at just the world around me and what my role is in that. And that's something that you can get on social media to an extent, but it's really different to put yourself kind of at the mercy of a complete written work by somebody that's somebody different than you. And I've been really kind of humbled by that and really kind of challenged by that. And really, I think I'm looking forward to the rest of this month and just keeping myself in that place of really kind of putting yourself where you're uncomfortable a little bit and seeing like, what can I learn from this? And what can I take from this that will make me just a better person? So that's what I'm reading right now. And it's been very, very interesting. And I'm always looking for recommendations from people that read books that are different than what I've been reading. So if anyone has any, I would always love to hear more recommendations. But
have you ever read anything by Jhumpa Lahiri?
I have. I just finished The Namesake and really liked it a lot. It was a similar, I read it for Modern Mrs. Darcy's Reading Challenge for 2017. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that fulfilled my category for an immigrant story. And I really, really loved it.
Okay. You should also try, because I've read that one, but the one that I liked even more than that one is called Unaccustomed Earth. And okay. It is such a gorgeous book. It's one of those ones where they start out with separate stories, and then by the end of the book, the characters in those stories have converged, and you found out like how it was all wound up together from the beginning. It is one of the only books I've read more than once, because I'm not much of a rereader, similar to you, but I was assigned that book in college, I'm pretty sure. And I went back and read it after graduation, and now I'm actually sitting here looking at it like, I should read that again. That is an absolutely gorgeous book.
I love that. If anyone has reread something, that is high praise to me, and I will take that recommendation very seriously.
Mm-hmm. So you guys being non-rereaders, I reread books all the time, I think I read them all the time. But I tend to go back and reread books when I'm in like a season of life that just has a lot of like upheaval happening, and I just want like comfort food, but in book form. And so I've got like a few like tried and true books that I just go back to time and time again that just kind of like settle me.
Yeah, I do that with Harry Potter. The Harry Potter series is my comfort food.
That works.
Reading. Nice. And then there's just a handful of other books that I'll go back to more than once. Although I'm thinking that as my kids get older and more to the point where I can read like actual chapter books to them, I'll probably start rereading books that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
So have you been reading anything good lately, Abby?
I have not. I am in the in-between book stage. And we've also been like trying to get ready for this baby, and so taking a lot of like classes and things, and it's been cutting into my reading schedule a lot. So all good things, just not reading a lot.
Yeah, that happens. It's okay.
Yeah. What about you, Ashley?
You know, when I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, I actually read a really great book on the plane that was called Beneath Wandering Stars by Ashley Cowles. And it's a young adult book, which I chose specifically because I like really engaging plot lines when I'm on the plane. And also I didn't want to have to think too hard or have like a super long book. So I was like, all right, young adult fiction it is. And that was a really, really great book. I'm pretty sure it was her debut novel, and I was very impressed with it. Like, the writing was gorgeous. The themes went a lot deeper and were more spiritual than what you usually see in young adult literature. So I would highly recommend that to anybody.
That's a genre I haven't delved too much into. And I don't know why that is, but I always pay attention when people recommend books like that, because it gives me a great way to start. If I know someone else has liked it, then I'll give that a shot and I'll see what I think.
Yeah, I never used to read much young adult lit, and I think I've been getting more and more into it since I've had kids, because I just don't have the brain space to do heavy reading, or like it takes me so long to get through a longer book that having something short and a little bit fluffy is kind of nice, because it means I actually finish a book.
Yeah.
Everyone needs some of that escapist literature once in a while.
Yes.
Well, excellent. If you try any YA, you'll have to tell us what you think of it, Rachel. And if you need recommendations, either email Ashley or I, because we can give you lists.
Yes, perfect. We've got good ones. Yes.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you about clarity and balance and just everything that you have going on creatively. And we're just so glad you took some time out of your day to chat with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was on my bucket list to be on a podcast, so I can check that off now, and it's just been so fun to be part of this. I've loved your show from the start, so getting to be a guest was a huge honor.
Yeah, and do you want to tell everybody where they can find you online one more time before you go?
Yes, so my website is rachelaDawson.com, Dawson like Dawson's Creek, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at rachelaDawson as well. And you'll find links to all the other things I do on either of those. So I won't bombard you with all of the places I exist on the internet. But go to me first and you can wander off from there.
That's good advice. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. We'll see you on the internet.
Listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.